confidence is like part your attitude and part your actions. And like, if your attitude's not there, like if you don't feel it, if you're doing the actions, like it'll catch up with you.
Welcome to The Confident Healer. I'm your host, Sharmila Mali. And in this podcast, we have inspirational, uplifting, and soulful conversations about the ins and outs of having confidence as a healer and as a healer in business. Do you remember being 22? Do you remember what you were doing, who you wanted to be or were becoming? Did you ever consider to do something that was so far out of your lane, you almost had to become someone else? Well, that's what my next guest did. On a suggestion of a friend, she went from being a doormat to a dominatrix. She just published a book about it called Freedom Year, How Trying to Be a Dominatrix and Failing Changed My Life. We talk about that, intuition, long-distance love in the pandemic, and using an object as a muse for creativity. Let's find out what else the ever-so-lovely Sophia Wren has to say on this week's Confident Healer. Welcome to The Confident Healer. I'm your host, Sharmila Mali, and today we have a brilliant and wonderful soul with us. She's a writer, musician, and spiritual support for writers, creators, and entrepreneurs around the world. Beginning her work almost 10 years ago, she's been described as having spot-on intuition, positive vibes, and a gift for words that inspire. She has a master's in spiritual and pastoral care from Loyola and a passion for helping unconventional people to always know what to do next because they can hear their intuition and trust it. She recently published the memoir, Freedom Year, How Trying to Be a Dominatrix and Failing Changed My Life. So please welcome with a big warm hug, Sophia Wren. Yay!
Welcome. Thank you for the hug. I love the hug.
Yeah, energetic hugs. Good to see you, my dear. Good to see you.
You too. Been seeing you online, but it's nice to...
Yeah, yeah. We've been seeing each other online. So Sophia and I know each other. We were in a women's business group like 5 years ago. And this is us talking on for you all. And so you have quite the... pandemic, a very romantic pandemic story. Would you indulge us in that?
Yeah. So I began the pandemic in Japan. I was out here for a year teaching English just because my intuition called me out here. I don't really have a good reason other than that. And I started dating a young man around this time a year ago. Yeah. Right around New Year's. And we were together for a few months when the pandemic happened. And I had been planning to go travel in Europe. I had planned to go to the United States after that, but all my travels got canceled. And it was like, literally the flights were canceled and I bought more and they were canceled again. So it was like, what am I supposed to do here? Should I just go home to the United States? That kind of seems like a crappy way to end a trip. I wanted to have an adventure that's kind of just like going back to normal. It's like, what should I do? And I really felt like stay in Japan, see what happens. So I wrote out the rest of my visa in Japan until July, which was around now me and Andrew had been together 6 months. And we had thought we would just break up and go our separate ways, but we decided to try to do long distance. So we did that for about almost 6 more months. And that's when around then Japan changed some of their policies, it looked like to us, to let in some people if they were in Korea for 2 weeks. So we kind of got some weird messages about that. Like it was kind of a gray area. Like we didn't know, are we allowed to do this? Are we not? I didn't have a visa this time, but I really wanted to see Andrew. And it just seemed like the only way we were to see each other until like the pandemic was over, and who knows when that will be. So I did it. I got on a plane. I like moved out of my apartment. I created and painted the walls and everything, moved out, put everything back in storage, got a plane, did 2 weeks quarantine in Korea. And then about a week ago was when I took the final plane to try to get to Japan. And they almost didn't let me on the plane in the first place because I had a visa. And they were like, we're confused. We don't know if you're allowed to go. And I'm like, I understand. I'm totally going. If you'll let me on, I will take a chance. So I went, I waited in the airport in Japan for about 5 hours. Wow. And they finally let me in. It was a near call. They almost like ejected me.
Wow.
But they let me in. And then 2 days later, Japan closed to like travelers.
Wow.
Like, he doesn't have a residence card. I was like banned from Japan because there's this new variant of COVID they wanted to keep out. So I slipped in just under the wire, just barely.
Wow.
With my lovely fiance.
Yay. So you've been in the States previously, right? You came back to the
US. Yeah, I came back. And that's when he and I got engaged and that period apart. We saw each other, you know, on Skype or Zoom twice a day. That was it.
Well, congratulations. Congratulations on getting there and being engaged. How exciting.
Yes. Like love wins. And I'm just, you know, I've been a traveler for a lot of times in my life and I've learned to trust. I call it like travel magic. I learned to trust that traveler's instinct of like, no, I'm going to go. Like I'm not getting clear messages if this is going to work from people, but I don't care. My intuition is like, get on that plane, girl.
So what, I could probably guess, but what has 2020 taught you?
You know, I think it's really taught me to believe in myself. I think it was maybe sort of also a lesson that came from the end of last year, because I almost feel like sometimes I experience the lessons other people experience like a little bit quicker. Like I go through the same horrible things like earlier. Like that's what I mean. Because I was in Japan very isolated in the way that a lot of people have experienced with COVID. So I was kind of going through a lot of that, those feelings already. And in that time frame, I really evaluated what I was doing with my writing and with my business and with my goals and the reasons I was approaching them. Like, what was it really about? And I realized there was a lot of validation I was looking for. Like when I was successful, then I would prove something about my worth. And I realized like, that's not a good way to go about this. And if you do it that way, you're never going to get there.
Right.
You know, you're never going to achieve what you want. Even if it is years down the line, still not going to come then. You got to create self-love right now. And once I figured that out, I was like, oh, okay. So I ended up investing in myself with more support to achieve my goals. And I did publish my book, Freedom Year, which is an act of self-love, you know, first and foremost, you know, not about becoming a bestseller. That book is just about being myself, connecting to people as that, and being me.
Nice. So I ordered the book because this all can't happen so fast. So I haven't had a chance to read. So it's on the way, but I know the synopsis. So what was becoming a dominatrix? What were you hoping to achieve with that? And what was the whole idea behind that?
Yeah. So this was about, I just was graduating college and I was feeling very lost because I got my degree in political science. And I think my dream was to become a diplomat, really, to be traveling the world and, you know, learning about other cultures and creating world peace and being a part of that. So I went and I got the fancy college degree in political science and I was all set to kind of like go in that track. But by the time I had gotten there, I think I was educated enough about the structures and the problems of the world that I felt very small and powerless and like, what could I possibly do? I also realized that being hired by the government was going to be weird because someone was going to tell me what to do with my life. And if there was a war, I was going to have to like support that, which is so not what I was about.
Yeah.
And all these things. And I'm very sensitive. And I realized that wasn't going away. I don't like fighting. Holy crap. This isn't really a good career path for me. Being told what to do and all this stuff. So I decided that wasn't the job for me, but I had no idea what it was. So I was feeling lost on that level and kind of jaded. And then I was getting all this feedback from other people that just seemed like I was doing things the wrong way. Like I had a boss steal from me. And then I was supposed to live with some friends. And then they kind of like decided not to live with me, but didn't tell me for like 6 months. And then when I approached them, one of the big things my friend said of why she didn't want to live with me is she was like, you just like don't take responsibility and you let people walk all over you, especially guys. And I had kind of been feeling that way too, but it was like, okay, now it's like I'm losing friends over this.
Wow.
Like, people are stealing from me. You know, it's just like, I really need to do something about this. If this is my pattern and this is my issue, I'm going to go look for it and try to hunt down a way to stop. And so I just wanted to be more in control of my life. I think that was what I felt was the answer. So I had a friend who was like, I was telling her about all this and she was like, oh, hey, well, there's this thing you can do. You could try being a dominatrix because people will come to your house and they'll clean all your stuff for you and they'll give you massages and make breakfast and you don't even have to be nice to them. In fact, it's probably better if you aren't. And I was like, what? That sounds really different. She's like, yeah, isn't that the point, to do things differently? And I'm like, okay. So that's kind of what started the whole thought process. And it wasn't what I thought it was. For me, in the end, it was really more of almost like a thought experiment, you know, like kind of trying to imagine myself, could I be something different? Or like, you know, because in the end, it was sort of a role that didn't really fit me. And I was having trouble. The whole book is about me trying to figure out how can I possibly like make this fit me or make myself fit it? Or how do I combine these two ideas when I have such a fixed idea of who I am? And in the end, I realized that my way of thinking about who I am and the way I identify myself and the limits I put on myself were the real issue, So it wasn't so much important to be a dominatrix or any other kind of box. It was really to look at like, where am I holding myself back? Am I asking for what I want and need, or do I feel like that's shameful and that's forbidden? And I ran into that a lot and kind of drove myself a little crazy. So it's a pretty wild ride for me in terms of everything I saw within myself and within my thinking.
Yeah. Because I would think that, you know, being going into the, you know, BDSM world, you know, there's, you know, a strong desire to either, you know, control or be controlled and, you know, have that dynamic. So yeah, it's interesting that somebody casually is like, well, you should be, I guess it's the opposite, right, of what was happening at the time. Because I think in your synopsis that I read on, you know, when I was ordering the book of like being a door, you called yourself the doormat. And then, you know, and I would see like how that would be empowering to go into, you know, the dominatrix world.
Yeah, it can be. It was interesting though, because it's sort of a role where you need to be in charge and kind of be competent, being a beginner at it and not even being in a relationship with anyone, you know, having this be something that was more playing around with strangers, you know, it kind of was scary because I'm a beginner, but I have to kind of pretend like I'm an expert and kind of play the role of an expert when I don't know what the hell I'm doing. And I'm very aware of that. And so, and also there's a dynamic too, where there's a difference between like being empowered where you're doing what you want to do, and then being in the role of an empowered woman that fits the expectations of the partner you have. So like if you're basically playing a game with a person, if the other person is thinking like, well, I expected you to be stronger this way, I expected you to be bossing me around this way, I thought you knew that you need to do this or that with me. And I'll be like,
but doesn't that require communication? Like, how would you know, you know? So, I mean, do they come in with a resume? Like, okay, I want this and this and this, and this is, you know, so.
Yeah. The problem is no. Well, I mean, yeah, communication is so important. I think that was kind of my first foray into like what honest communication is. Because I think before, like most people, I probably just thought everybody wants kind of what I want, you know, everybody wants to be loved and like this way that I like kisses and I like hugs. So like, if I want to show that, like everyone else might must love kisses and hugs, right?
Right.
But what if somebody likes for somebody to call them like, a, you know, mean names or something? To me, it's like, what? That's so mean. I would never want that.
Right.
What if someone does want that? And they need to communicate that, right?
Right.
And, you know, so these sorts of communications were very, very new for me to be like, hearing like, whoa, we have to really communicate what we want because it really could be something completely different. And that like blew my mind. It requires a lot of radical honesty and a lot of like, you know, letting go of shame around desires. And I think that honestly, there are a lot of people out there. I don't want to generalize about all men, but just there are a lot of dudes out there who are bad at communicating about their desires. And who really just want somebody else to be a mind reader and like do everything for them. And I ran into a lot of that.
That's so funny. Yeah. It's so funny. I just want, I'm just thinking of, you know, in my, from my background at my, you know, coming from a very patriarchal background and how, women are there to basically kind of cater to men. And just do everything for them. So that's why I'm laughing because you're saying that. But so like we're because you were, if you were out of college, so that's put you like at 22 or something, like your early 20s, and these are probably men that are a lot older.
A lot of people were older that I ran into. Yeah. It was really hard. I think because I was so young and kind of inexperienced. And I think now that we're talking, I'm realizing how idealistic I am because I'm thinking like, yeah, like this should, I should be empowered. And this is about women being in charge and like, it's going to be really great. But like you said, it kind of ended up being again, that women, the role was to cater to the man and they weren't even like helping you out.
Right.
Communicating well about it. Like, I don't know. And I don't know. And I think it is me again. It's like taboo, I think, with the idea of like what masculinity is.
Mm-hmm.
It was very taboo. And so that's where, again, I think there was shame and stuff that's in the way. And I, what I found a lot of times is that a lot of guys just wouldn't even, were a lot of talk, or like they wouldn't even like meet up, or they like, it would just be a lot of dissatisfaction on my part because it would just be like, I was stood up on dates or had cancel for me because of their work. A lot of times seemed like a lot of workaholics and, or even maybe somebody was like married and like, this is like their secret thing. And
so
I had somebody once, like we were writing these letters to each other for a really long time. And at first I was out of the area of like DC. I was out in Philly. So I thought like, okay, great. You know, when I go home, maybe we can meet up. It never happened. Then I moved back to the area and it still was like, there was no meetup happening. And I was like, okay. So I stopped talking to this dude, even though he was saying how much he loved me and all this stuff. One day I get an email back. It looks like he basically had sent an email out to about like 9 other people. And it said like, oh, I really missed you.
Oh my God.
And then a girl responded back. She's like, this guy, this is the guy who sent me all those letters. And then like, and called and like never met up with me. And I was just like, he's doing this to all these other girls too. Gosh. And I suspect that guy was married.
Probably.
The kind of stuff I ran into time and time again. It's just like, yeah. But there were good things that came out of it. Like, I do feel like it did get me to kind of think about what I want, what I didn't, what I liked, what I didn't like. And again, thinking about communication and kind of practicing some of that. And just having an open mind. So there's a lot of weird types out there. I do feel like I, in the end, became a lot stronger in myself. But it wasn't until many years later when I had, like, a consistent partner and stuff where we could really like have a safe space and be able to communicate. And I realized like for me, what I want is not, a lot of things that I like have to do with being with a specific person and the dynamic that happens between them. You know, like if you tickle somebody and they laugh, you know, but if like, you know, it's just, I like to have that reaction. So it's like people are individual and they're going to have different stimuli and reactions and stuff. So in a way, I think that a lot of the ways we term sexuality these days are kind of individualistic, like I'm this and I'm that. But what I found is that like each person I talk to would be like, I would kind of have different fantasies about them or different urges with them. And it would be dependent on their energy and their reactions. And it was that kind of dynamic that having time to be with somebody and to really explore with somebody was like very freeing and helped me learn a lot about myself and helped me to get more comfortable with myself. But I really feel like every new person is like starting over because we're all different.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. So when would you say that, because it sounds like there you might have had like a sense of low self-esteem, but maybe a little bit more confidence.
Yeah. It's like a mix.
Yeah. I mean, cause you can have, but I mean, you know, we're all different. Everything's different levels. Would you say that, after going through that experience of being a dominatrix, was that empowering? Did that help build your self-esteem? Did it build your confidence even more? Or
I would say the whole experience is probably a lot like 2020 was for people, where it like picked me up like a snow globe and like helped me identify some things to work on that ultimately did create more confidence. But like I said, I feel like I kind of ended up attracting a lot of wounded individuals. And hurt people. So then I had to heal from that. So that was not fun. But there were other things too that kind of in this exploration, I ended up also exploring like my creativity and kind of like my personal flavor, my personal brand and voice as a writer and as a creator, you know, like trying to figure out how do I be this archetype of a person, you know, what individual flavor can I put on it that's really going to express myself. So that came out in this exploration around being a dominatrix that really related to every area of my life. You know, like I love the color red. I love it everywhere. I don't just like it in my bedroom. I love it everywhere. It's great. I also love the color teal. And to me, that's like a big thing that expressed something about my personality. So coming into like a greater understanding of like who I am and like who that artistic voice is, that definitely came out of that year. And that really changed my life. And on all of the like in the reactions that I had to the events that occurred really helped me to heal and process a lot of really deep stuff from my childhood that I didn't realize had a big effect on me. So it was really to my whole life.
I mean, for only, you know, experimenting it with a year, that's a lot to learn too. That's amazing.
Yeah, so much.
Yeah. What made you decide to write? I mean, there's so many things, you know, when you're writing a memoir, what was, why did you choose that to, because the whole book is about that whole exploration, you said.
Yeah.
So what made you choose that to write about?
It was really like this burning urge inside of me. It was like a number of years later that I started writing, maybe like 3 or 4 years later. And it was just sort of like this calling that I had to write it. And it started as fiction. I started writing under kind of sort of like a hidden identity where I never expected it to be something that the world would know that was me. Because there was shame bundled into that. There was a lot of kind of trauma that it brought up and triggers and really vulnerable stuff. You know, there's a lot of really, it's not like I had ever seen somebody walk down the street and just say like, oh yeah, I tried being a dominatrix. You know, usually it's somebody with like a secret identity and it's not something you like admit to. So I never in a million years thought that it would be something that I would be publicly outing myself about, but that's just kind of like over the years, I just had this burning desire to share it. And I had stops and starts along the way because it did freak me out, the idea of sharing it. And there were things that I like wasn't proud of or had to forgive myself for. Because I am a bit of a perfectionist and I felt like I made all these mistakes I was bumbling around. I didn't know what I was doing. I was like 22.
Right.
I didn't have a mentor in this, you know, like I said, dudes weren't helping me out. Like, and it's life is kind of difficult to navigate, I think, for everybody sometimes. So it was tough, but it just was a calling, you know, and I really do believe in intuition. I believe like sometimes you have a book that you need to get out, or a business you need to get out, or something you have to do and you don't really know why, but the process of doing it was really healing, like editing and sitting with it and doing healing work. And then ultimately like putting it out as a self-love gift to myself. The positive connections I feel like it made with people, where like stuff that I didn't expect ended up happening, where like a bunch of my family members joined my email list so they could get a free sample of it. Oh. You know, I'm like, guys. But you know, it was not the everyone is going to abandon me because I'm terrible situation that I feared.
Do you have siblings? Did they know? Did your parents know? Did you have to announce to them, like, oh, by the way?
I have my dad and his wife, and I've got like aunts and uncles, and my great aunt wanted a copy, so I gave her a copy.
But they knew.
Yeah.
Because you told them, or because you told them you were working on this project, or...
Yeah, I didn't like talk a lot about it with my family, because like out of everybody, they were kind of the people that like at least wanted to read it.
That'd be easier from talking to you about it. Is that what it is?
Yeah. I think like no one really wants to talk about sex with like certain family members, you know. There's a lot of that in it. So it's sort of like, you guys, I'll write other books. But now it turns out I really like writing romance. So then just, you know, you really can't control who reads what. And if you tell someone not to read something, they're probably just going to read it. So I just try to say little, but you know, I don't, nowadays I do write under a pen name, but it's not like a secret. It's very much just like, and who I feel like I am, and just an easier name to spell. So I like it. It's not a secret though. So they all follow me and they all see all my posts. So I'll be posting about my book coming out and, you know, things about it and stuff. So they saw all of that. So that's not any surprise to them when it came out, you know? So it's no big deal. I have a pretty progressive like family. So they're pretty artsy and they understand like art. And so they don't seem to really... They weren't offended.
Okay. That's great.
But not offended.
Well, I mean, but it's nice to have support for your work, you know, it's nice to have that support. So it's great. It's so nice that you have that. And what, you know, just to go back to what you were saying, that you have this burning desire, you know, like I know a few people who have a book inside them, but they just feel blocked or whatever. And what is the difference between having that burning desire and then actually sitting down and writing? What is that step? How do you bridge that gap? Was it easy to bridge that gap?
Well, it was not easy because the material felt so taboo for me or the scary to reveal to anyone. And then there's a lot of stages of writing a book. And I love writing. I love helping other people write. So I have helped people with books since I got started about 8 years ago. This book took 8 years. And I do feel like, and the ones I'm writing now are like faster. I actually have one coming up next year. But this is a particular kind of writing where you're writing about your life. Right. I feel like it's the hardest for a number of reasons. First off, to figure out where you start the story, because there's a lot of, I don't recommend starting when you were born. I think that's kind of boring. I don't think that's a good idea, but some people do that. And then they talk about every single stage of their life. I kind of like it being out of order personally, or starting in an interesting spot. But just that decision alone can take years to figure out like where that is. So I always say that like, if you've got a book, also a business inside of you, I really feel like it's not just you. It's like a baby. Like it already has like a consciousness. And if you think about it like that, it's a lot less like difficult to know what to do next, because I actually would keep a running document where I would just write letters to my book and ask it questions or say like, I'm stressed about this and like, blah, 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 you know, just brain dump all of my like questions or anxieties or confusion or concerns into that letter and then like await the answer from the book. And I do this in my business as well. And it's really refreshing to me because it's like, I think when our mind is putting all this pressure on ourselves to like create, it takes us out of being receptive. And it's the receptivity that is where we're going to get our biggest ideas and like to just like channel it or just like just get so much of it out. And like I said, there's a lot of stages, there's a lot of decisions you have to make and a lot of different, like, where do you put this comma? Where do you put this word? What word do you use? Is this sentence okay? I don't know. Should I move this part over here? Like there's a zillion moments where you have to make a decision. And if you're overthinking every single one, you're never going to get anywhere. So I really do need, for me, I really do need that inspiration. And I believe it comes from an outside source, because even if it doesn't, that mindset helps me to be receptive and it helps me trust what I receive. You know, like, okay, the book's saying it's time to take a bath. All right. Book said. I'm not procrastinating.
Okay. I see what you mean by outside source. So you're consulting whatever it is that you're working on, whether it be a book or a project or a business. And I see what you're saying about that. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like let the creation like lead you, like let the thing you're creating be a part of the process. And maybe it's just a way of mentally kind of reorganizing your thoughts. Or I really do feel like for me, I am intuitive and that I can kind of sense that about people. Like I can sense like your project's not ready to pop, you know, like I feel like some, or like, oh, your business is like, it's really wants you to play more, you know, I'll get like feelings about what people are working on and be able to reflect back sometimes. So for me, I do see it as like something outside of them. Cause if you think about it, like if you create something, the really unique part about it is that when you're not there, it can still be having an impact on somebody. So like you walk away from your book, you walk away from your computer screen, somebody's going through your email funnel or somebody's doing this or that. Like when you create something, it exists independently, and you can even set it up so that when you're dead and gone, that thing is still doing stuff. So is it you? No way. It's its own separate entity. And yeah. And I love working with energy and thinking about, you know, what does it feel like? What's the energetic impact it's going to make? And using that to guide all of my actions.
So when, I mean, cause 8 years is that, did you, when you first started writing, did you have a timeline for yourself? And like, how did you keep yourself going, continuing writing to finish it? You know, like,
oh my God, it was really hard. If I didn't have this strange sense of like, I've got to do this. It made no mental sense to me. It made no logical sense to me. It just seemed like the stupidest thing to do. Like it just seemed like so unnecessary. Like that story does not ever need to see the light of day. I don't know why I'm doing this, but I just had this sense. And also something would happen usually in the world where I would feel like maybe I met somebody who, I think I met some girl once who's like 19, and she had used heroin before and she had stopped, and she kind of like, this whole story came out of her mouth, hand you my book. But my book's not done yet, you know? And like, I wish I could hand you my book, but until it's done, I can't have it in my pocket to give to somebody, you know? Or then I met somebody else, you know? So things like that would happen. Or even like some media, like I saw, there's a show on Netflix that's like a BBC show. It's kind of like the Twilight Zone. Shoot, what is it called?
Black Mirror.
Yeah. The second episode of that show really made me want to write my book, because it's about a singer who ends up being like kind of tricked or kind of it's like a weird gray. She kind of ends up being in pornography. And it's like, she started out as like this singer that she just wanted to be a singer. And she ended up being kind of tricked into being in pornography. And it was like, I was so devastated by that turn of events. I'm giving away the episode. Sorry. But it really disturbed me because it was like, oh, this kind of like exploitation, I feel like is only possible in a world where women aren't allowed to have their own desires. And for me, the journey I had was me learning that it's okay to have desires and kind of work through again all of the inner things that limit myself from doing that. And so I just felt like my book was like a good ingredient to add to the pot so that like in the future, all girls don't end up being exploited. And so things like that, like, you know, the universe will bring me things that will continue to push me along, even though it was hard, even though it felt like, you know, there were times I didn't work on it for a few months or something, you know, it was a long haul, but in the end, you know.
You got it done.
Glad I did it.
Yeah. And like, so during that period, did you feel like your confidence waned?
Yeah, I found that when I was doing the actions that were aligned with what my intuition was telling me to do, whether or not I really felt like it was a good idea or not, or like 100% sure about what the outcome would be, if I was doing the actions, I noticed my confidence increased. And it is one of the things that kept me going, because I am an entrepreneur. I do like writing and helping writers. And I also have done copywriting and helping businesses with all the words they need for their businesses and stuff. But I noticed that when I worked on my book, I would be so much more confident with my coaching and with the other things I was doing in my business. So it was like really important as a business owner to think of myself as a writer first and to take those actions as much as I could, just, you know, because it fed myself. Yeah, it was really important just for, and I feel like confidence is like part your attitude and part your actions. And like, if your attitude's not there, like if you don't feel it, if you're doing the actions, like it'll catch up with you.
Right. Yeah. Definitely something you can, a skill you can build. Yeah. Cause I'm just wondering, like, what was the longest and what was the shortest time that you were writing? Like, what was the longest stretch? Just curious if you remember.
The longest stretch, I think it was near the end. I think the last year I was particularly dedicated to it. And I had the pleasure of, well, it depends also on what you count writing on the book is, because I feel like the years, like during Freedom Year and a few years after that, I got into the habit of writing 3 pages every day. And I was in that habit for, I think, 3 or 4 years, where I was consistently writing 3 or 4 pages a day. And a lot of times it was on like a book. And I feel like writing is the kind of thing where it like stacks on top of itself. So even if you're writing something else, the fact that you're in the habit of it every day and you're doing it all the time, like you're building those muscles. So, but there were, I think, surprisingly, when I had too much free time, a lot of times I wouldn't be writing. So I hear people say, oh, I just need to like have a vacation and like go retire, work on my book. I think it's bull, because like there's always tomorrow when you have tons of free time. I was actually really productive when I started grad school and I had like a lot of compression in my schedule, because I had to. It's like, you got right now or you're not going to be able to do this until like next Tuesday. So it's like now or never. I think that for me, having a lot of things going on forces me to just do it. And it's so easy to just like kind of be like, oh yeah, I should do that. But wait, there's another episode of the show. Like, well, wait, I got to clean this up. And then like you're free to release your time. But if you don't have very much of it, you're like more aware of that. And it sidesteps the perfectionism or whatever it is that's in the way.
Right.
So I think that the times when I was busy were actually the times when I was most like committed to consistency, you know, and it might not have been every day because like I literally couldn't, but it would be like every chance I got, like I would look forward to those times and I would like put it in my calendar or like wake up. In Japan, I would wake up at 6 a.m. to work on it before work, you know, I did that a lot, waking up early in the morning to fit a little extra writing time in, was really awesome. And it feels so good to like start the day like that. So yeah. And then I did have the blessing of having a few months in Japan, at the end of my teaching this year, where I was basically writing a new book and also editing the old book. Mm. So my time wasn't totally open. I was juggling still.
Right.
But like at that point I was putting multiple hours in a day, and I had set a deadline of publishing it on my birthday. And that was like, okay, we got to like, so some days I was working like, you know, 5 hours a day on it, or I was working a lot to get it completed. Yeah.
Wow. That's,
but a lot of times it was just like a half hour, an hour at a time. Mm. So I don't want anyone listening to think they have to have full-time space in their schedule to make progress on writing.
So you just kind of hacked yourself, it sounds like.
Yeah, I did. I figured out how I tick. More things.
That's awesome. Cause I'm, you know, I think a lot of us, including myself, are trying to figure out how to hack ourselves.
Yeah, I think it's great. And again, like if you keep track, you know, I recommend keeping, like I have a little tracker document. I have a lot of different documents. One of them is a little tracker where I'll put the date and I'll just put like the bare bones of like what I did on a project. So I can kind of glance at it and just see like, oh, it's been a few weeks, or like, oh, and it's just really seeing it and understanding like, okay, I did this amount of time, or I got this much done, you know. Mm. Just having a way where you can kind of review like how you're doing is really more important than even if you're doing well, like just having an awareness of like, how's it going? And not to be judgmental on yourself, but just to try to figure out like what works better, to try to hack yourself.
Yeah. I think that's the most important thing is not beating yourself up, not judging yourself over not doing it or not getting it done or whatever it is that you're judging yourself about.
It's so easy to do that with writing. I mean, I feel like it has to do with like grade school and school, like having it feel like this job kind of thing that you can do right or wrong, but we might all have our own reasons for it. But it just seems like, especially with writing, it brings up like a lot of self-flagellation or insecurities or things that make it really unfun. I even find that happens, you know, with myself, and I've been doing it a long time, and it could be writing for my book or for my business posts can be stressful. Emails can be stressful.
Right.
So like I do try to do a little processing time and kind of build that into my time to write. Is like if I need to like journal some stuff out, or like I said, I write to my thing I'm working on.
Right.
It'll tell me to go do something for self-care. I'll do tapping. I love EFT. Mm-hmm. To try to like move through whatever's going on in my head that's adding a lot of pressure, and just like get some of that. I'll do some dancing. I love to put some music on, do some dancing, shake it out, you know. Yeah. Sometimes that's important to do like before I dive in. So that way it's like, you know, I hope for myself that this is a fun thing, because if I wanted to, I could have a 9-to-5 and I could kind of, you know, sell off all my creativity to somebody else if I wanted to, but like I chose not to. So I just try to be like very gentle with myself, you know, cause I don't want to be that hard ass that like, you know what I'm saying? Like, why would I do that in my spare time?
Yeah. No, I totally hear you. Yeah, no, that's very, it's a genius way of create a creative hack for your, of oneself. I hate that word, but it's, but I also like it too. Hacking oneself.
Yeah.
But just, you know, yeah, just figuring out like, okay, this is how to, it's almost like kind of tricking yourself, like to do something, you know, like, okay, let's just, but in the end, it just makes it more, it makes you more creative.
Yeah. Yeah.
It sounds like.
And there are times when it's work feeling, and there are times when I wake up and I'm like, can't wait to work on that, you know?
Yeah.
So I think the more you can play, for me, it's like, again, I love like writing letters. I love writing like dialogues, like I'll say this and it would say this back. And, you know, you can dialogue with like your inner critic or your inner child or God or whatever. And like something like that, where like you're using your imagination to kind of step outside of the real project. It might feel like it's not productive, but like it really is though.
Yeah.
And just getting out of the left brain, like it's got to be logical A, B, C step process, and just giving yourself permission to like get messy and ridiculous.
Yeah. Because I think that, I mean, just anything to just to help yourself take that step to bridge whatever gaps that you have from, you know, from you wanting to do something, whether it be traveling or getting that book out or starting a business, you know, just doing something just doing something that kind of gets you out of your head a little, you know, because it's always going to be there. But if you just kind of just turn your perspective a little and then you see it a different way, and that just kind of opens up, I just feel like that opens up your creativity even more so, you know, like it's not about like, you know, crunching. Some people work really good like that. But then once you take a break and just kind of leave it behind, I'm just imagining somebody going outside of the building and smoking a cigarette. It's like, and then it comes to them when they're kind of relaxed, right? When they've just been like furiously studying or trying to figure it out. And then once they get take a break, then that's when it comes. So just to switch gears into your business. So where along the way did you develop your intuition? I'm curious about that.
Yeah. You know, I ended up working with a mentor, about around the time when I was starting to write the book. I was having some trouble in my relationships and I was like trying to work some stuff out, and as well as start a business. And that's my first kind of like business mentor, was this amazing healer, amazing spiritual guide. And she really taught me to go into my heart, you know, listen. And she taught me a lot of different modalities, and I took different courses, but I would say that like connecting with her, having like a really deep mentorship where I was meeting up with her like every week for like 6 to 8 months. And just rather than just telling me all the answers to everything in my life, she would be taking me through processes to find my answers. And like, it wasn't something that happened overnight, but it was then taking that out into my life and like workshopping it and seeing like, oh crap. Well, like, for instance, I had this car crash where I was thinking I should go get acupuncture right now. But I was driving to a friend's house and I was thinking, well, I'm going to be late for my friend, so I don't have time to go to acupuncture. I should just go to my friend's like, a little early instead. And then I got in a car crash on the way to my friend's house that I wouldn't have gotten into if I'd gone to acupuncture.
Right.
You know? So it's like something like that where I'm like, okay, that was me not listening to my intuition. And this is what happened.
A crash course.
That's good. Oh. So yeah, it's like stuff like that. You're just like, okay, let me try to learn from this, you know? And then honestly, not to see it as like a mistake necessarily, but it's like, so it's crash course, the learning opportunity.
Right.
We refine from there, you know? And it's not something that like just you learn and you're done. You know, you kind of always have to be kind of like rechecking and evaluating and checking in with yourself, because things change. You know, like the world is changing so fast. You might think you have a plan, and then you might suddenly feel like, oh wait, I feel like throwing that plan out the window today. Was my plan wrong? I don't know. Maybe something just changed, and you just gotta go with it.
And then how did that translate into kind of being like you sound like a business oracle?
You know, I've been wearing so many hats. I think a lot of the people I help are that way too, where they wear a lot of hats, you know, and they're really kind of unique. Like they maybe feel different, like kind of out of the box. And I kind of stumbled into it. Like I knew I really wanted to help writers, but it was funny because I didn't really think I was a writer at the time. So I was kind of like, that imposter syndrome was rearing its ugly head really early on. So I ended up doing writing for people, for their websites. I ended up meeting somebody at a marketing event who hired me to work on $10,000 marketing launches as the main writer. So I was writing really the meat of this entire thing. And then I ended up leading. So I ended up doing all of the copywriting, all of the writing for the websites, videos, all kinds of stuff. And it was crazy. And then I ended up realizing just how powerful the internet is in terms of being able to connect to people all over the world who really get you, even if you are weird, even if you are different. And I really love that because I feel like there's people out there who are kind of feeling stuck, like they're not getting traction, you know, they're not connecting to those people who are the ones who are going to like their reading, you know, to read them or enjoy what they create, or they've got like healing services or a business they want to connect with people with. And like the internet and communication and words is the way to do that. So I didn't realize that writing is like actually a lot of, it's really helpful in business. Right. So that's like how it ended up becoming a bigger focus for me. And I also just love doing like intuitive readings and stuff with people. And a lot of the people I would be practicing with would be other entrepreneurs that were in classes and stuff with me online. So it kind of just like ended up being, it just kind of ended up happening. I can't say I did it.
Right.
I did it logically at all. But again, but I do, you know, if you've got a business, like you've got extra motivation to put yourself out there and to like work through some of the crap that gets in the way. And like, there's a payoff for you to connect to people, you know, out in the world with writing or some other way of marketing, because like, you're going to get money from that. And then you're going to be able to do your awesome stuff and be able to be free. So like, you have to like go, I feel like it's like a nut, like you got to crack the nut around you. You got to pop out and you kind of like put like interacts with someone's energy field and then you'll get all of them back. All that.
Right. Energy.
Yeah. The internet's magic. So that's my reason for getting into business is just the internet did a number on me and I gotta share the love.
I don't think I hear that very often, but yeah, it's true, right? That's how we're able to do this. I love the internet because we're always cursing it like, God damn the internet, fuck God, it's sucking up all my time, you know, but for you.
I love it. You know, I didn't,
it's an old friend.
It's only been recently that I've really like owned that, like I'm pretty good at like working the internet because like, it just was such a, it was like water, you know, or air. It's just something that like I took for granted growing up with it as a kid. And then like, I started blogging when I was a teenager. And then one day I turned around and like my site had like 5,000 hits on it. And I was like, I should do something with this. I don't really know what I'm doing, you know? And that's just, it just kind of turned into where I am today, where now I feel like I'm much more oriented towards not just the self-expression, but like connection. I want to connect to people. And I love hearing that like I've inspired somebody and like being able to see like somebody's got a real problem and like, can I help them take one more steps with that? And like, I mean, it's amazing. And we really need to keep it in perspective because like recently I've been dreaming about like my ideal reality of like how I want everything to be down the road. And I wanted to be in this place of like, I'm connecting with people and we're able to like support charities and support like good works. And then like, after like 3 days of journaling about this, right, somebody reaches out to me from a nonprofit in Sierra Leone and was like, hey, like, I want to use your help. I want to tell the stories of the girls here. You know, we're trying to, you know, protect them from sexual exploitation and like educate them. And they're just like, you know, people here in Sierra Leone are really poor. So we're just trying to network around the world to like other people to be allies. Maybe one day we'll find donors so we can help twice as many girls. And I was just like, isn't that amazing? Like the internet did the magic.
Right.
I didn't have to do anything. It came to me. And now I'm just able to share on Facebook. And so I shared on Facebook. And then somebody else was like, hey, I want to help. Tell me how to help. So like now we got another person who wants to help. You know, I told my friend, she was like, oh, hey, I want to donate. You know, so it's like, it's just, it's magic. It really is. I mean, it's the combination of like technology and all of the personal development work.
Right.
You know, words.
Right.
Yeah.
So like, it sounds like every step of the way you were able to reinforce your confidence. That's what I'm just trying to get. I'm like, oh, it just sounds like there was a waiver of doubt, especially, you know, as you built your intuition. And maybe it was because you had a mentor, you know, something that was helping you along and you're just kind of crash coursing it. And then
it sounds that way. There definitely were doubts, you know, and it's gotten, I think for me, I got whacked like 2 years ago. I think I was dating somebody who turned out to be kind of toxic. Mm. And it was like, I had kind of ignored some red flags or even yellow flags. Like at that point I was like, okay, yellow flags are now red flags. We're escalating sensitivity levels. Pay more attention to ourselves. And I realized, you know, it's not just about like trust yourself when you get those little inklings of discomfort around somebody. It's like trust. If you're going to do that, you also need to trust your dreams. Mm. Trust your dreams. Trust yourself. And that's, you know, for me, I think it's some things are easy for me to do and I feel competent and confident at it. But then like the things that are really going to change my life do require that leap of faith. And that's where it's been hard for me, but I'm just, really trying to support myself by surrounding myself with people who are going to help me get there and being like, okay, yeah, I am willing to plunk down some money, not just on a course where you learn a skill, but like on personal support to foster that belief more.
Right. You know? Right. Okay. Well, that's good to know, because I think a lot of people who are like starting out or maybe just struggling in the middle of, you know, of the pandemic and they were already struggling already and they're a healerpreneur, you know, I think that's good to hear, is that it's not always, oh, everything's just coming up roses and everything's great, you know, because, you know, you can just go on to social media and everything looks, you know, it's a picture in time with some words that were written at that time. And, you know, there's a lot of imposter syndrome going around, right? Like, oh, I don't feel like, you know, but they're posting it anyway. You don't know the story behind it. And, you know, that's why I just want to, you know, try to dig into that a little, like, you know, because it's all glossy on Instagram, right? But then behind the scenes, you know, you might be in a corner and then, but you have somebody in your corner. If you're in the corner, you want somebody there, you know, holding you to push you out of the corner and, you know, building your confidence muscles and your self-worth and self-esteem muscles as well. So I'm just thinking like, all the, you know, because, you know, entrepreneurs, you know, it goes up and down, you take two steps forward, sometimes one step back, and sometimes that can hold you back. And so what is the step that where you can like step forward again for you? Mm. What is that?
Like, yeah, I've definitely experienced this like up and down dips, you know, and I think for me, it's, well, like, really understanding it, like, doesn't all have to come from me. Mm. You know, like, I realized that like collaboration is this really cool thing. Mm. And it's been hard, I think, to trust people enough to trust that I can keep boundaries where I need to be. Right. And to be like more vulnerable and saying if something makes me uncomfortable has been like really hard, because I used to expect myself to just like, oh, you're being too sensitive, or like, you need to work on yourself, you know, but to say like, this makes me uncomfortable, or like, hey, I need to put a boundary here, or like, you know, make a request like next time, like, you know, and just more and more I'm trusting, like, if something made you feel crappy, like, it's okay to say so, right. You know? And that change has given me, like, more trust in other people and, like, allowed me to receive more from them. And I know it sounds basic, but it's really not. I mean, it's hard. It's really hard. But yeah, but making those changes. And then also, like, the difference between, like, there's a lot of people out there and you just got to find the right ones. Because sometimes I've hired a lot of people and stuff, but sometimes they're just not a right fit. And again, right. like, there's got to be a balance between taking in somebody's expertise and just trusting your own self.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just being like, this does not feel right, you know? Yeah. And in the end, if I'm really blocked up, usually, like, I'm in one of those dips, usually it's because now I'm starting to overthink it and I'm starting to become a perfectionist. Mm. And I feel like the next thing I do has to be, like, the perfect thing and the right thing. And then, like, I don't do anything.
Right.
So that's when I actually had that one after I published my book. I kind of had a moment of, like, oh crap, what now? Like, kind of, I was, like, going through all kinds of triggers from, like, it being COVID, and I just got back to America. It was hard. I was away from my fiance, all this stuff. So it was just, like, a lot at once. And I just gave myself permission to be like, this is an experiment. Let's, like, just experimentally try whatever we feel like doing and see what happens. And even though it was like, I was worried about coming off as unprofessional, so much happened in that time where I just created, like, this whole new structure for my business and a bunch of sales pages on my website and put a ton of content out there. And I started a podcast too. And I started a group membership where I have, like, 4 people in there now. And we just, like, love each other. That's nice. Just like it helps me, honestly, you know, it's, like, not even really about money. It's just, like, that helps me feel supported. It's probably the best thing I've ever done in my life.
What's the membership about?
It's called Creative Vision in Action. So we meet 3 times a month. We have tarot readings 1 time a month. And it's not just me giving the readings. Like, we all read each other because we're all psychic. And then the second time, we do tools like writing and, like, healing work to just tap into our own individual wisdom. And then the third call is a collaboration call where a lot of times somebody volunteers to, like, lead a meditation, or, like, we all just kind of share and chat.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's been really cool. And it just kind of organically came through as something I wanted to do. And I had to really, like, keep believing in it, because for a time it took a little bit of time to catch fire. So I just invited people to my Zoom call and was like, this is, like, a taste of what's coming. And, like, it just kind of organically seemed to be like I was inviting the perfect people who wanted to keep coming. So
yeah. I like that, because, you know, memberships are very not structured like that. So that's cool that it's all that everyone participates and is supporting each other, and not just the clients supporting each other and you supporting all of them, but you know, you also holding the container, and they are also able to support you. And yeah, it just sounds like a nice flow. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really supportive. So it's like we have one little group, and then, you know, I think in the new year I'll probably try to make, like, another group at a different time. And just seeing what happens. But, like, that really helped me, like, just get outside the box, give yourself permission to, like, fall on your face if you need to, but just, like, do something.
Awesome. So any parting words of wisdom for our listeners about confidence?
I would say that when you're really in alignment with your confidence, it's about trusting that your voice is not going to sound like anybody else. And so, like, you really have to be okay with being weird and different, and, like, what's the worst that could happen?
So, yeah. Thank you so much. So I'll have all this in the show notes, but is that an organization for out of Sierra Leone? If somebody wants to find out about it, should they just contact you, or?
Yeah, I think the easiest thing to do would be to contact me, and I can put you in touch with the organization. They're kind of like lo-fi right now. So they just have a page. Yeah, but I can connect you to the guy.
Okay. In charge. All right. So you can get a hold of Sophia. There are many, many ways here. I'm going to list them all, and they will all be in the show notes. So you can email Sophia at Sophia, and it's spelled with an F, S-O-F-I-A, at sophiaren.com. And she has her website, www.sophiaren.com/blog, and her podcast, anchor.fm/Sophia-Ren, W-R-E-N, and her YouTube, sophiaren.com/YouTube. And on Insta, you can find her at Sophia Ren Coaching. And on Facebook, Sophia Ren. Oh my God, you're on TikTok too.
Yeah.
At TikTok at Sophia Ren Coach. And on Twitter, Sophia Ren is her handle. So thank you. Gosh, thank you so much for being here. We're recording this for you. It's already the end of the year. For us, it's the 30th. Mm-hmm. So happy new year. And let's give you a big hug. Goodbye. Thank you so much for
happy new year, babe. Thank you for the hugs.
Yeah.
Thank you for this. It's lovely.
Yes. And your book, where do you buy your book? I bought it at Barnes and Noble's.
Yes, it's at Barnes and Noble's. It's on Amazon. I do have a page where you can get a free sample of it. If you go to sophiaren.com/freedom, it'll direct you to places to buy and where to get the free sample, first three chapters for free.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. So many, many ways of getting a hold of her because she loves the internet.
Thank you.
So once again, thank you so much, Sophia, for being here today and joining us here on the Confident Healer Podcast. And we will see you all next time. Thank you.
Thanks, love.
Want to know more about how to contact my guest? Then go to theconfidenthealer.net. This is also the best place to listen to the podcast. And while you're there, click subscribe to rate the show. Let's get those algorithms working to get this podcast to the masses. Thanks for listening and see you next time.